The meeting is called to order at 6:05. Those in attendance, Yvonne Nass.
Jed Donahue.
Natalie Marciani.
Angela Andrew.
Beth Carter.
Janine Salomo.
Kiara Kulovac.
Courtney Fox. Anna Harrell.
With that being said, the first item on the agenda is the approval of the January 25th minutes. Are there any additions or corrections? If not, may I have a motion to accept?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are accepted. Our finance chair is not here, so we will go on to the next item. Governance, do you have something you want to?
Yes, so governance is presenting to the board a vote. We have a member who will miss meetings due to employment from March until June. And so I'd like to vote on your position on keeping the member on the board or not. And that's the.
What are you proposing?
I propose that she, you know, she, as many of us are valued assets to the board, I propose that she remains. And it's Kai. And I recommend that she remains on the board, although she's unable to attend the board meetings.
Can I make a motion?
Yes.
I move that in accordance with Section 5.01, 5.04 of the bylaws, that the provision enabling the board to determine that a director that fails to meet the meeting qualification may nevertheless continue to be a member. And I move that we vote to continue to have Kai as a member despite the fact that she will miss several meetings through the end of this year.
Do I have a second?
One second, sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Development, we just have your timeline, correct? Anything you want to share? Good.
Courtney, do you want to speak to it?
Yeah, I have copies of it because I think, I know people have it in their things, but I think touching and feeling it is helpful. So I'm going to steal one for myself. So what we did is we took the original timeline and kind of recaptured kind of everything that's been done and overlapped the board's responsibilities, the school's responsibilities, the development committee specifically, and the finance committee. So you could see kind of where everybody's jobs were and what everybody was accomplishing. And then the piece that was presented last time kind of falls under development, but I wanted you to see that where we wanted to kind of outlay where all of the different committees and pieces are, and kind of which pieces are getting done and still need to be done. And you can see a lot of things are crossed off, a lot of things not so crossed off. But just so you could see all the different layers of what was happening right now. If you flip it over on the back, again, just some simplified information, trying to get it into a one-page document. You see, again, we talked about those three different avenues that we're taking for raising money, right? So looking at redistributing the budget and seeing if we can tighten anywhere, exploring the line of credit, and the capital campaign is the three kind of, I think they were, what was the shape under the umbrella? They were like three something. What's under the umbrella? Sorry. So they're all three there, and then you see under the capital campaign all the things that fall under that. At the bottom, I think one of the things that we're trying to convey is that the things in this capital campaign are going to be ongoing pieces, right? So a lot of these continue year after year. The goals change a little bit because it's a huge year, but you can see how it kind of builds off of this year and next year and what the goals look like, where we are in terms of our goal, where our gaps are right now. Again, these are the things that came out of that last umbrella model of where we were looking for holes to fill. And people have to decide too if that's where they really want to live and stay. But right now, those are the people that have surfaced under those leads. And so you can see kind of where we are in that. And then all the way to the right, that blue piece is the four phases of the renovation and what they'll cover, an estimated cost on them, and kind of what the expected timeline looks like. So again, just kind of filtering everything down into one piece, kind of taking a broader look at some of the other pieces that are impacting too.
And what I would say from a strategic planning standpoint is this backside is a straw man at this point in time because development hasn't had an opportunity to meet with information now against the phases and then being able to really align what the critical issues for the plan were against what development's role is and then what all of these things underneath the funding sources and who will be assigned to what is then truly defined as well as the goals. So, you know, this is a work in progress, if you will, at this moment. But the big thing that was necessary and will be very helpful to make the straw man become stronger is the renovation plan, which and the phases and what the expectations for cash flow needed are. And that'll then let us align the critical issues and assign the tactics.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think the key is we've obviously got some new information in the latter part of last year and this year in terms of timelines. I had to readjust timelines and the scope of the work, the cost of the work is greater than expected. So Courtney, I think this is, thank you for putting this together and then put it in one place for all of us to get our heads around it. And then I think, as Angela says, I think now it's kind of kicked back to the development committee to put some teeth behind this. And I mean, you've talked about this a little bit, but and Kiara, and you know, just kind of, I think the key is, it can be overwhelming to say we've got, you know, this seven-figure goal. How do we break this down into manageable chunks, times, you know, and responsibilities? So, Courtney, thank you. Like, I mean, I don't know if it's straw man is the right word, but it's a starting point that we need to finalize. So I'm eager to get going with that.
Courtney, picking up on what was just said, like Jed, on that peace notion, What's the dollar estimate, ballpark number we need between what we have and to complete the work through summer 2018? Because that seems to be obviously, and there are a lot of ways we're going to get to that number probably, but that may have changed since last we talked, so I don't want to assume.
Yeah, I don't have a straightforward answer for you because of the way that we're sitting with money in our surplus. And I think when we see Zeke has the final budget, and if we don't get to that, I can certainly talk to it a little bit. But he's going to show you the final budget and what we anticipate the surplus to be.
Okay.
There are conversations around, do we utilize that for this? You know, I think that we spoke, and Yvonne, you can piggyback onto this at all. When we spoke at the last finance meeting, I will say that I shared concern about dipping into all of our operational funds to fund a renovation because I think that we are operating on kind of a bare bones staffing model as it is right now, and I worry about doing that over time and the impact on some key players here. And so we're looking at do we tap into that surplus, and then when you say what's the shortfall, there isn't a shortfall, right? You can tap into it. We can tap into if we had to. We have our summer pay money set aside for teachers that we have to set aside if we ever closed. But it's not to say that you can't tap into those things if you have to, as long as you put them back in. So there's some movement that can happen. At the end of the day, it's going to impact operations. So the more that you fundraise, the less impact on operations. So that's kind of where my
I
don't have a number for you.
No, that's fine. And I mean, maybe we all, after we go through more strategic planning, we come up with, in light of all the surplus and other options, we come up with a targeted dollar goal for 2018. I think that makes sense. I just wanted to know if there was...
Yeah, so I can answer that a little bit more specifically, though. Let me just pull up one other thing real quick. Hello.
I'm looking for...
She went downstairs to basketball. If you go, back up a little bit. Go down the steps and straight back.
Thank you.
I can answer that a little bit specifically, but let me just pull up a 5-year.
And of the raised total, the 542, is 250 of that spent, or more than 250 of that spent, or is that?
Yes, but it's not a straight wash of 250. So let me okay. give you this number, because I think this is what will help make sense of that, of what you're asking. Mm-hmm. I think. So in this fiscal year's budget, we have, sorry. We have $750,000 in our final budget earmarked for renovations this year. 250 of that has been spent, so there's still 500,000 sitting in this year's bucket to spend.
For the fiscal 18 budget you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, to July 1. Okay.
So there, okay.
So we have 500 of this $1 million one kind of taken care of. In next year's, in FY19, we have 350,000 set aside for renovations. So in our budget, we've built in, you know, 1.1 million of this, about over at the end of the day, probably close to $2 million renovation is already kind of accounted for. Now, if I look at the anticipated surplus from this year, you know, we're talking about potentially, you know, $800,000 surplus. Now remember, we deficit spend the next couple of years. So if we spend all 800,000 of that, we would be in the hole next year and the year after. So we can't spend all of it and still be in a place over time. We can dip into it a little bit if we need to. So we're close. And again, that's 2 years. That summer four, we have. If I take that out, we're really close. That's why I said I think some of these things need to be thought of as year after year funders, especially when we're looking at four phases of a renovation. Because if we are raising $200,000 every year, you know, that makes up a nice big chunk different than a one-time capital campaign. So trying to earmark right. which of those are ongoing mm-hmm. is huge too. Does that help, Janine?
Yep, nope. That has actually now let me sleep a lot better tonight. So that's
no,
good.
I need you to go raise money.
No. I'll be raising plenty of money, but don't get me wrong. I just wanted to understand where the different potential buckets were, and I knew that this number here wasn't showing me everything. So
I will continue to reiterate, and I did this the other day too. When we tap into that money, it taps into programs and operations. We're pulling from operational dollars.
Sorry.
She's not there?
What does she look like? I can't remember.
She has like a gray bob. She's back in the gym.
I can. I'll go walk her now.
Do you know Marius? I actually think she came up and left, is what I'm a little worried about. Okay. Thanks, Natalie.
Yeah, but that doesn't. I mean, we still have the line of credit option and a whole host of other alternatives
yes,
as well.
We're good.
Yeah. I just want to understand from a cash flow perspective sort of where we were.
We're good.
Yeah.
So for this FY18, we have, you know, 500,000 set aside right now for this $1 million, but I'm sure that it won't be done by July 1, so it'll pay out some next year. So, like, right, if we can get things moving and on an upswing,
right.
phase three in place, phase four can potentially be paid out, you know, over time.
Yeah.
So we're not.
The good news is that, like, unlike a lot of other schools, we're not having to take on debt to do this. The realistic news is still that we have to raise a lot of money to do this, so we're not
sure.
eating into the operations.
And we potentially have other investments we may need to make in the short term, depending on where
right.
we are in the build. There are other big expenses.
Exactly, yes.
So,
right. And I know that finance is looking into a line of credit. They're starting to have that conversation and to research that. Because I don't know that tapping into that surplus and not adding any other staffing as we grow is the answer. I don't know that we can continue to operate on the staff that we have here. I think that, like I said, I think you're gonna lose some great key players because they have so much on their shoulders that it is wearing on them. And I'm seeing that and it panics me a little bit. So I have definitely been very verbal and vocal in saying, if we can get money elsewhere and it doesn't have to be operational money, it could mean a lot to this organization. So,
right, so that's where we are. Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. We're considering all angles. We're lucky to have what we have.
And we've operated on a lot of volunteerism and a lot of you know, programs that have been run by volunteers. And as we grow to 600 kids, running things on volunteers is becoming trickier and trickier every day.
Right.
And it's a lot. It's a lot. So.
Is there a timeline for when those decisions have to be made by?
In terms of
what decision?
Meaning so that you are able to be prepared for staffing for FY19, meaning so that, you know, you speak to the volunteer programs, there's a lot of work that gets done to make them work.
Okay.
So knowing, you know, what those positions look like, it's like resource issue, human and financial, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just depends on what money becomes available sooner rather than later so that we can start making those decisions. I mean, we are not going to add anything until there's a definite understanding that some of these holes are filled in terms of financial. I guess
another question, another way to ask the question is, we have been batting around the line of credit idea now for probably, you know, 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
When's the time frame where the decision gets made?
Six.
Is there one yet?
Well, we did an initial meeting with a bank, a local bank, and had some conversation. After our finance committee meeting last week, it was an action step to leave there and go find out more information. So it is on the timeline to determine in February if a line of credit is an option.
I'm just asking, to your point about an organizational planning, you know, at what point do we stop ideating
and
make things happen?
And so I hope that happens soon.
Yes.
Okay.
We really pushed that at the finance meeting this week, is to start really pushing some, you know, really digging into some of those things and making some decisions on them.
And then perhaps if that still continues to flow, a deadline is usually what is a driver. So just a thought to add to the equation to say, okay, we've done all this research now, you know, March 15th is the deadline to make a choice.
And, again, it's just obtaining a line of credit, not that we have to draw one penny on it. It's just having it in place. So I guess I'll talk to the finance people and just see what the...
Yeah, Dwayne and Zeke aren't here to speak to... I mean, that was Dwayne's go-to, his action set from the meeting, and I know he has reached out and is gathering information. So I don't want to speak onto what...
More information.
That's fine.
We've already
gathered
information,
But I'm with you. I'm looking for more answers.
Yeah, we're waiting to hear. We're right there.
Yeah.
We're at the finish line. We are, but we can't bring you anything until we have something.
Yeah.
So, again, the finance committee is doing their vetting of the issue and getting all the information, and they'll bring us a proposal as soon as it's ready.
That's where we are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
I mean, I guess the outcome of this conversation, though, at least the takeaway I have at this point, is if a goal had to be set. It's $200,000 year over year through the four phases, or in perpetuity would be the best way to think about it.
Yeah, and I think the next piece too is we've got to look at those, you know, I earmarked people who had expressed interest in certain things and their names are there. I don't know if that's still continuing. I don't know where people are on those things. I don't know if there's different buckets to add. I kind of went off the ones that we had on the last chart and just tried to lay it out there. And like I said, my point was really seeing like some of these are over time. Like let's account for them over time and start to move on them. But there are some big gaps there that we need to figure out who's gonna spearhead. And I think the other key piece to this is I think looking at the timeline, seeing where we are and seeing which, you know, there are some definite places where we are months behind anticipate a timeline and making sure that we've accounted for that as well. Hey there. So those are my kind of takeaways on this. But I do think we have to revisit this and figure out where people are going to fall and if people are going to jump into some of these different holes or stay in the ones that they've been earmarked for at one point.
That's the word on the street.
Do you need to announce the latest?
Yes, you do.
For the record, Zeke Allenson has joined the meeting at 6:25 p.m.
And Shonda Gilmore has also joined us.
Oh, she snuck in. I didn't even see.
And Aubrey has also joined us. Okay, Mr. Zeke, are you ready for your finance report?
I am.
All right, come jump in.
All right. Sorry, I thought it was 6:30, even though it's on my calendar. It's 6, and my secretary came in and said it's 6, so I was like, so.
We started without you, sir.
Good. So I noticed that the narrative was missing from the let me send one of those over. So I have two things to share with you. Did everyone have a copy of the budget materials that were, does anyone need a copy, that were in the board packet? And then I've got proposed final budget for this year. And I can talk briefly about both of these. So the way this narrative is set up by Karen, our consultant, she kind of talks a little bit about where we are and what this proposed final budget is all about. Anyway, we're about 7 months or 58% through the school year. The revenues came in thus far at actually more than what we had budgeted for the entire year. We had budgeted 7.6 million, and they came in at 8.2 million. So 6.7% more revenue than we thought. So I think the largest single component of that is the $300,000 in construction funds for Longwood Foundation. As far as where we thought we would be in expenditures, we have a total. Currently have a total expenditure budget of 6.9, and we have spent 58.3% of that, so we're right on track. That would have left us with a $730,000 carryover at the end of this year, plus, assuming we don't dip into it, which there's no reason to expect we will, the state mandated 2% contingency of $123,000. Let's take a look at the proposed final, which has a comparison on the back, on the second page, of the line items, comparing for each one where we thought we would be at the beginning of the year, where we're proposing will be if you adopt the budget that you're being presented with, and then how much of a change in both absolute dollars and percentage for each one. And we've got a sort of key that explains all the different changes. And I'll just walk through them, and I'm sure Courtney will correct me if I'm wrong. You know, the state appropriations for salaries and operations, which came in, which is going to come in 5% higher than we thought. I think that's because we always budget conservatively based on 95% of last year. But I think this year we were a little less so. We did like 97% of last year. But anyway, you can see that we got a decent boost in the education sustainment fund. I don't know too much about that. Same for the tech block grant. We got a new appropriation for mentoring.
It's always a zero until we know what we're getting.
Okay. Minor cap is coming in right where we thought it would be, about 51,000. The local funds look like they're coming in about $123,000 higher. That's 5.7%. We also try to budget those conservatively. I think that also includes a finalization of the Christina settlement. Well, let me get my key here.
Okay, so for both of the teacher one and the student one, we budget on last year's numbers until we know this year's numbers. Mm-hmm. So they typically go up every year, especially with the growing number of kids, or the teachers getting a step on the ladder, but we don't add those in until we get everybody in the system and see that they're going to, that's all going to go through. So that's where some of those added funds come in.
This also, this projection, or this adopted, proposed for adoption, addresses the fact that there's probably going to be a couple of kids who we're going to lose, or we have lost this year, and we might have to pay receiving districts
potentially
their share of the funds. Let's work through it all. So cafeteria funds is just a wash. We're keeping the donations where we think they're going to be, although they haven't come in that high yet. Then you can see the impact of that new Longwood Foundation money, $300,000. School activities is running higher than we thought. It's field trips and such.
Right, it's another wash item. It comes in as revenue, it comes out as a payment down the bottom.
Small adjustment in federal funds, and then you can see the prior year carryover at almost 1.2 million almost. And if you compare down all the way to the bottom, you'll see that what we were proposing sort of as a surplus, which would become the carryover for next year, was only 730,000. And if you move one more column to the right, you can see that in this final budget, we're proposing that it be 795,000. So that carryover is shrinking, right? Which is the deficit spending that we anticipated and that we projected to occur this year. Next year, which is 2019, the year after that, 2020, 2021 is supposed to break even, and then in 2022, we're supposed to recover and start building a positive net surplus again. And that surplus is funds that can be dedicated to program expansion, which typically means more staff in a specific area. And to the extent that obviously we're not spending that money now, you know, last year we had almost 1.2. We're saying at the end of this year we'll have 800,000. we're spending some of that, deficit spending some of that, but the bulk that we're not spending, that $800,000 this year we're projecting carry over at the end, that is basically fiscal conservatism. So even though we are deficit spending, we are deficit spending from the position of a large surplus. And we're not doing anything like scraping the bottom of our funds.
And that's after the 2% too.
That's after the 2%. Yeah. So assuming we don't hit the 2%, which we probably won't, we'll be adding another 129 to that. And there's 400 and something thousand sitting in that restricted account for summer employees if we ever have to, you know, close the school and then pay those amounts off. That number is in these papers somewhere. We'll come up on it.
Zeke,
yeah, $618,000 is sitting in this restricted account. That's not even in these numbers.
It's not even in here?
Yeah, that's off of budget. It's a restricted amount. It's off budget. So that's additional fiscal conservatism. And when we get down to the capital budget line, and you'll see the changes to that, we can keep in mind that what we're proposing in that line is based on the fact that we're not dipping more deeply like we could into some of the areas I just mentioned. Sorry, Jed?
I was gonna ask, so I understand that in you're projecting the next couple of years deficit spending. Actually, what is the projection of where the surplus will end up at the lowest point? How much do we expect to dip into the surplus in those projections?
Well, I don't think it's.
So I thought you said we 2021 yeah. we're projecting to come back and to be in the black on an annual basis.
So I would say it's going to be roughly 700,000 dollars.
So not
when it gets to its lowest point.
And that's roughly where we will be at the end of this fiscal year, right?
We're saying that for next year, 2019, we'll probably have about a carryover of about 780. Then in 2020, about 680. And then 2021 is when it bottoms out. So,
yeah, so here's the exact number. So this FY18, our surplus is projected at 870. FY19 is 699. FY20 is 594. FY21 is 594. And then FY22 is 693. So that's where it all splits. So it's 4 years where we kind of hang at that place between 600 and 800,000 before it starts to build back up a little bit.
And that's not including the contingency for summer pay.
Right.
Right, which is just now 618. Right. Plus, it doesn't include the 2%.
No, that I'm looking at it with that 2%.
Oh, you are. You put it in the okay.
Yeah, I give the numbers with the 2%.
All right.
If we take the 2% out, we go under that $500,000 mark in those years.
Yeah.
And again, if we don't figure out other places for money, that first year of 870 goes down, and then each year after it is down by whatever we spend this year. So if we tap into that another 300,000 at some point, if we had to, in 2 years you're talking about the surplus going down to only 300,000. So it's definitely a place where we'll have to have some conversations, because we'll be going below that fourth threshold of 500,000 that they've requested to keep.
So just jumping back onto the difference between where we're at now and what we're proposing for this year. Substitute teacher line being increased. I think that's because of maternity leave.
Yeah, so the other one that's down is salaries. So you'll see the salary line item is not nearly, it doesn't reflect in this, it reflects in our budget. We're not at the same percentage that we anticipate. It will be a place that we make money at the end of the year. We'll have a little bit left in that bucket. It doesn't account for it in the budget because we budget for full salaries, and we always do. But there will be a little bit of a pocket, I think, at the end of the year, because we've had teachers out for so many people having babies this year.
And it's also going to
But is it offset by this line item anyway? So
So that's why we increased this line item.
Gotcha.
So that it covers the substitutes.
Right.
There will be a little, it's a little bit of a, another place where we're conservative, right, because you don't know how long people are going to take. And what, so we budget for full salaries, but there are a couple teachers who have gone without pay for a couple weeks.
Gotcha.
So it, that's where it, but again, you just don't know what people are going to take and use,
right,
so we budget that out fully. And with seven teachers having babies this year, that can look very interesting.
Wow.
But it's, the, I mean, now we have some history and you can start to look at it,
yeah,
because it's not going to stop. It's the demographic that we hire, so.
You can see right above the salary line, there was a $5,000 bump in extra pay for extra responsibility. I'm not sure what that's about. That salaries also could see a little bit of a further uptick because this doesn't have in it the optimal certification level that everyone has. So it'll probably, we'll probably get a little bit more than this anticipates. Then there's really no changes until you get down to the medical related services where there's an extra $5,000. And then the utilities is up by $15,000. I think that's the water.
No, it's just the utilities.
Oh, just
the higher the rates, it's
just.
There's more people using more services in the building now.
Yeah, I mean,
mine's up
right?
Too.
Everybody's
got expensive.
Yes.
Custodial contract went up by $5,000, but our insurance went down by $3,200.
And it didn't go down, it's just that we had budgeted it higher this year, so it's still at the same rate. It's actually a little bit more than it was last year, but we had
not as much as
a bigger rate. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Will the insurance go up with the growth of
no.
With the growth of students? No.
Is it just on the, it's on the buildings?
So, yeah. Well, I'm just thinking for liability purposes, and it says umbrella liability, so I'm just thinking the more students, the greater the liability.
There's a, so. I mean, I believe there is a small number that is by, but in growing by 100 kids, we're talking about a couple hundred, like it's very minimal, I believe.
So parking's up, leasing more spaces, is that for construction or is that a permanent thing?
Oh, I mean, we're trying to get as many cars out of here because this is where our kids play over here. Mm-hmm. So we have been buying spaces around us. Anytime a space comes up, we purchase it. The more cars we can get out of here, the better it is for kids. So in my mind, I feel like we're leasing playground space. It's not really about leasing parking. I'm leasing a playground because that's where our kids play over here. So we're taking as many spaces as we can in these two lots. Anything comes open, we're the first call for them.
Small increases in printing and binding and in association dues.
Those are just some of our, like DCSN went up, their dues went up this year. They did a new funding structure for that. So there's some places like that that are just added.
Then the student body activities up, but that washes out with the
yep.
additional revenue. So our contracted services budget is, we're recommending that it be adopted at 2.9% more than what we thought it was going to be at the beginning of this year. Then there's the next change is medical supplies up by $3,000. That's a small increase. And then you see the big one here, the total capital outlay. We had projected 250 for the renovation expenditures for this year, but now we're saying 750, which is a 300% increase.
But remember, we had not accounted for the renovation at all in this year's budget in the beginning. We had just put in the $300,000 from Longwood, basically, in the first round, and it kind of left it until we knew more.
So, it's interesting because with the $300,000 revenue from Longwood and boosting this particular line by $500,000, so it's really a net cost to us of $200,000. We're still going to have a carryover at the end of this year that's bigger than what we thought it was going to be at the beginning of this year. it's gonna be, you know, 795,000 plus another 129 from the 2% contingency, plus that's not a carryover, but there's also that $618,000 in the restricted account for summer.
And what are the circumstances in which you can or cannot access that money?
There's, as far as I understand it, it's pretty much wide open. It's it is a, you know, fiscally conservative, you're supposed to do it kind of thing, but what we're hearing from our consultant is that some other schools either don't have it or don't have it fully funded or use it for certain things, and we've got it tucked away.
We've got it fully funded.
Fully funded. When we say restricted, that's just a decision.
Yeah, no, I just wanted, I didn't know if it was state restricted in some manner. That's what I was asking. It's just us.
Yeah, okay. We took it off the budget.
Yeah, I think the tricky part to looking and tapping into that is that knowing for the next 4 years that we're deficit spending, we're not going to be able to build it back up for 4 years, and that's a little scary. Like, that means that if we close, people couldn't get paid. That terrifies.
No. I wasn't suggesting that's the issue. It's important to know those numbers in relation to what the surplus number is. It's important to understand what if we tap into surplus to some degree that these other things are covered.
Yes.
The 2%.
Yes.
The 618. Yes. That's what.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify those points.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I think there's a part of the conversation too of is the 750 what we want to leave it at? I think that's the one gray area.
Right.
That, you know, we're talking about, you're right, dipping into stuff and covering it in other ways. Like, do we account for it? Or what's gonna happen in June when I come back to you with a bill that's gonna go way into that? Like, where does that, I can tell you already it's going to. Do we account for it now and still try to fundraise to offset it? Or what's that process going to look like to go way over budget in an area? Sorry, Natalie, you were going to say something else there too.
No. I was just wondering, is that money making money somewhere?
Yeah.
That, okay.
Yeah, these are, the state holds all our money.
Yeah, that's why it's in a totally different account.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry.
So it's.
Thanks, Mike. I'll be here if you need to get in.
All right. I'll be back.
Okay. So yeah, they have it in something that's going to make a little bit more than, but not.
Then nothing.
Right.
If you check out the narrative, we're earning like $1,200 a month in interest. It's sort of the third one down here in the column. Mm. We've also had a couple of meetings that got set up to look at, you know, other methods of funding construction, and we've gone back to one of the local banks and asked them to give us a proposal on a revolving line of credit and a bridge loan. So we'll see when they come forward. I was a little disappointed that we're already getting pushed back and they're trying to steer us more towards a bridge loan than a revolving line of credit, and I would rather have it the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very early, so, you know, we'll see where it goes.
What's the rationale?
That we don't have recurring revenue. I guess it's how you look at it.
Right.
We get chunks of money at a time versus we have a constant cash flow. And that's what they think of for bridge loans versus a line of credit. You usually have more constant.
And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that the first conversation on line of credit that they proposed was that they would give us about $100,000 line of credit. Right, so.
Well, yeah, the first one was actually kind of just, they were just focusing on a bridge loan. And then we kind of pushed them back, and they came back at like 100,000 suggested, you know, maybe we could do 100,000 as a revolver.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want 500,000 on the revolver and maybe no bridge loan. That's the way I would like to do it. It's early. Let's see where it goes. They're not the only game in town.
I was going to say it's because it's a local funding source, too.
Yeah.
And we've also got this little operating contingency that we do every year. One year, I think it was like a couple $100,000, but we've moved it now. It was like a, I don't know what you want to call it, like our own rainy day fund that wasn't required by the state. It was even bigger than the one required by the state. But now that we, you know, we have needs, it has gotten a lot smaller, but we still have it. So another 25,000. I mean, that could easily go, like if there's a legal issue or something, we have a legal budget.
No, that doesn't go to legal.
Well, we have a legal budget, I'm just saying.
I mean, right, if we had a big case, we could
do it.
Yeah.
If we went over our legal budget of like 30, now we'd have another 25 in this line that wouldn't hurt anything. So what it would look like on the, what this proposal, final budget this year would look like on the web report, which is for next month, not for this month, is shown here. And this is simply moving the numbers into this format. So, let me just check a couple of notes here. I presume that I think we have a bullet point we're going to be talking about construction later, so not really time to go into all that. But so what we would ask then, certainly if there's any questions, please, or any further questions, please raise them. But what we would ask is that the board approve the web report based on the current proposed budget that we will post as we're required to, and also approve the proposed final budget, which would be on the web report next month.
Do you want to make that two separate recommendations?
Sure.
Or, I mean, how do you want to do that, Steve?
Let's do the web report and get that one done, because I think that one's pretty straightforward.
Okay, yeah, so.
And then we can have some cut.
All right, that's a good idea. So the web report, based on the one that was circulated in your packet, which was based on our preliminary budget, I guess I'd move that we adopt it as we do each month and post it on our website.
Any discussion? Do I hear a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion is accepted.
So before we vote on the budget one, that's the question of, do we know that there's a spend there, do we leave those numbers of renovation around what they are? Do we, I mean, you can't underspend it. It costs what it costs. You know, we are cutting every, the architect today is telling everybody, make sure whatever you're doing is, you know, Courtney's going to push back on you if you don't come at it in the most efficient way. Like, everybody has to come at this at the, you know, with the bare bones efficient way. I applauded him today because he finally, you know, articulated that for me instead of me having to say it. It's going to cost that.
It's probably going to cost at least this, right? I mean, some of them might get pushed over to the next fiscal year, but it's probably going to cost more than this to do this next phase. Well,
yeah, it's going to cost more than $500,000, yes. Whether it spends out this year or next year, that's the question.
And we have $300 in next year's budget?
We have $350 in next year's. And again, there'll be another summer renovation next year that,
yeah,
you know, that one will probably carry, that one will probably be more into the next year than this one because of the timing of it. A lot of this one's going to happen in FY18.
Just to clarify.
I think it might be a good idea to go ahead and put the money in that area instead of waiting and then having to transfer it over.
Or then we just have to come up with a process for when that money gets overspent, how
right.
we're going to decide that, because that's going to be things that are rolling and moving. I can't be like, well, hold on to that construction until my next board meeting where we vote to move money. So that's
right.
That's where some of those questions for me come in.
Yeah.
I don't want to slow down the ship when it's happening, especially when we're in July and August. We are really tight on our time frame right now as it is. So I just want to make sure that if we choose to leave it where it is, then we have some conversation on what parameters for changing that are going to happen.
Well, I agree with Aubrey. I think we should make the decision now, so you're not encumbered later.
It would give us $750,000 to spend this year on renovations.
We have that right now.
Yeah, that's what's in this recommended
budget. We're even questioning that? I thought the question is whether we made it more than 750.
But we're moving it from one place to another.
I mean, they're two different questions. What's proposed is that it be 750, but and the additional question becomes, should we make it a bigger number based on what we believe are going to be needs for 2018 and 2019 in excess of the 350? So, I mean, right now, do you have, I mean, we're saying estimated 1 million. Do you have any sort of schedule that they've given you in terms of payables and expectations?
Yeah, so we did the final architectural plans today, and I brought them for you guys to see. So we finalized today. We actually hard signed on the final architectural plans. From that now, all of the final estimates around mechanical, electrical, plumbing, all of those can now start to filter down. And then next week we meet on design finishes and all of the pieces of it that then will do another cost. We are meeting weekly right now to get this going. The demo permits are being submitted this week, so the demo can start to happen. It's a 6-week lead out right now for permits to be approved for any work. So we're trying, like, those things are all in motion. There are 8,000 steps to this process, differently than any other renovation that we have done, because it's a full build out. And we are basically touching every floor, wall, and ceiling upstairs. So I don't know the schedule of the payouts right now. You know, everything is scheduled to be done by August 1st. So there will be a payment, you're right, in FY19.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that if we got to, so when I look at us sitting at $600,000 in our lowest surplus right now, I would love to see us move about $200,000 into that line item, and that keeps us at $400,000 surplus. I know it's lower than the estimated. That puts us at spending, you know, that puts us at $725,000 basically with the operating contingency, if that works. $725,000 in FY18, and that gives us $350,000 in FY19, which puts us a little bit over a million. So we're estimating that million. And then I think we start to have conversations about where we pull from for the next phases. I think we worry about this big phase right now, and earmarking those two numbers there. And if we can raise more money, then we can put it back into some of those phases later out. And just looking at this year's budget, though, is what we're approving, and I would love to see us move $200,000 from the surplus. I think it keeps us well above the zero line later on, and I think it's approximately the right amount to be able to cover what we need in FY18.
So just to make sure I understand, so for fiscal 18, you're proposing that we drop the surplus from, say, 795 to 595, increase the building construction funds from 750 to 950? I'll make a motion for that.
Any discussion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Passed.
I will add the commentary, though, just from a strategic planning standpoint, because that's what I'm supposed to do, to now say you have just stated your incentive for the coming year, because, you know, now we have to look at where we are cyclically from a foundation standpoint, where we are, you know, for new lines of sustainable resource. You know, we are setting the goals as we're making these decisions.
And that's $200,000 of operating dollars that you are moving into that, which means that's probably about 3 to 4 staff people potentially, or program people. So we've got to fill that with something else. Moving that over there, yes, it allows me to spend it,
mm-hmm.
but it still doesn't create that money. So that money still is coming out of operational dollars that is going to drastically impact the organization. So while it's now earmarked, we still haven't funded it, right? It's not.
Right. And that's.
And I can't emphasize that enough. Natalie, can you go back and tell everyone that I'm fighting?
But now we have a goal.
I just wanted to state it in words.
Well, and to visually see where, I mean, you had suggested earlier, $200,000 a year over for the next 4 to 5 years, there's, I mean, that's the delta. You just showed us the delta from what was proposed to where we need to be.
And I want us to rest on it's now budgeted.
No. I don't think anyone's doing that, but I do think we have to go through it and go through it. And so people understand where it's coming from. Yeah.
But it really just, it represents a deferral of doing program expansion while we're in this construction phase, because that money's going to come back.
But it doesn't come back for 4 years. You cannot live on the organization the way that it is structured right now for 4 more years. It will not exist at the level of integrity that you have right now if it stays like this. I know that you have recommended that we stay at that. It is not going to exist the same way in 4 years if there is not a build out sooner than that.
Because people will burn out and leave and the quality will suffer.
Oh, that's number one, but you also have to remember too that if you look at the amortization schedule of the way the organization grows, it will continue to grow. While we're building out for growth.
Right.
We're building out for growth, which means we're adding students. Mm-hmm. Students are human beings who need to be served with professionals.
Right.
So therefore, you can't maintain where you are. We're going to be adding people.
Right. And
we're adding young people.
We've added buildings, we've added hundreds of children, and we have not grown the structure of the organization. It is going to catch up to us at some point. I'm watching people run so hard that it's not going to last 4 years at this rate.
Yep.
It's just not. And it's, you cannot rely on that.
So while we now have the flexibility to build out for that growth with the budget dollars, it also makes it incumbent on us as board members to lead the charge to raise the funds to fill that gap and plan accordingly for it. It can no longer be relying on just relationships and networks and things of that nature. It's where are our new sources of income going to come from? How are we going to behave differently than we have in the past in order to make the future come to fruition the way that the organization expects it to and needs it to on behalf of these children?
Well, some of that, I'm not saying this is a panacea, but some of that is going to come from the growth itself. Because as the students increase, number of units increases, and then we get a teacher.
But it's not $200,000.
And then we'll get some administrators on top. I don't know exactly where the break is. You get to a certain unit level, you get like...
Okay, but we have that accounted for in this, in our revenue sources. It's all accounted for in that, based on the number of kids we have and how many units we get, it's accounted for. So our revenue won't change more so than we have predicted.
But your point was you get more human resources.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't get them.
Gotcha.
We get that money and choose how to spend it. We're spending it right now on a $200,000 renovation.
Okay.
You're not. It doesn't come with an actual person. It's a lump of money in the revenue source that we're choosing how to spend.
So we need to get creative.
So. Well, at the moment, there's really not a choice because mm-hmm. we have to get this done by August 1. We physically have children coming in.
Yeah.
This is something we really don't have a choice about.
No.
What we can control is how we work going forward. So I don't think anybody needs to have any second thoughts about what we just passed because clearly that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, whether we did it today or we did it in 3 months, it's irrelevant.
Yeah. And it's better to be proactive because now we know what we're working towards was really the point of making this.
And better, honestly, to be doing it within this calendar year than trying to mess with fixing it for next year's budgeted number. I mean, that's, you know.
And just so I understand what you just said, Courtney, I mean, on our multi-year projected budget, as the number of kids increases and we earn new units, we're showing that our teaching staff goes up. So you talked about how the surplus is going to dip and then build back, but at the same time that's happening, the teaching staff will be getting bigger
relative to the number of kids we have. Yeah.
Right. Oh, right. And then there should be some, probably small. We should probably look at this. Additional amount of administrative,
but that's built in. It's already built in. It's not going to be an added number. When we do our projections, they are based on students, which generate units, and that's what our state appropriations are based on. It's not. They're not going to go up differently when they.
Right.
Yeah.
But at some point, in the formulas, if you get a certain number of units, I'm not sure
right,
what it is.
But that's accounted for. That's what Karen's formulas do.
Okay.
So they look at the number of units, and it's a you know, it's more revenue of yes, where we earn a, we could earn a different another secretary, we could earn additional janitorial units, like we can earn those. Those are built in
to the numbers already.
Yes,
to the numbers.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
And yes, Yvonne, while it gives me less anxiety in terms of the renovation, it gives me way more anxiety because there's no surplus now, and now I have to operate completely on what we have this year. And if there are needs that come up, there isn't a surplus anymore. So while yes, it does give me less anxiety when I have to look at the renovation bills, it actually creates more anxiety because there still isn't money coming in to fund those pieces. So
I'm going to go find it.
And you're saying there's no surplus because we've set a floor of a minimal surplus.
Correct. There is still $600,000 surplus, so don't say there's not.
Right.
There is. I understand that there's levels we don't want to dip below,
right.
But let's not have anything on the record that suggests that we don't have a surplus. We continue to have almost $600,000 surplus, even after making this decision.
Yes.
Another $600,000 that is in restricted account and $129,000
yes.
that is at the 2% rate.
That's
so
right.
Let's make sure that's on the record, okay?
And the reserve.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
the
good.
Yep. But don't rest on that laurel.
This is a public
agreed.
Meeting, and I want it to be very clear, if it's not clear, that there is a lot of different buckets of surplus money, even
yes.
after all of this. Not that we don't have a lot of work to do to raise more money, but we are certainly not making a decision today that puts this school in any sort of financial jeopardy. That's
absolutely.
All I want on the record.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well said.
Yeah, indeed. Well said. A lot of energy around this table to get what we need, correct?
Yep.
We're all in.
So then I guess the proposal is, subject to shifting $200,000 from our projected surplus into our capital outlay line, bringing that from 750 up to 950 for this current fiscal 18, we would ask the board to approve this final budget, and then next month you would, when you get this report, it'll have the final budget in here instead of,
which will be 950 for this year then.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. 950 for this year.
So you move 200K from the surplus.
Moving 200 from the surplus into the capital outlay line.
And that's right. Above and beyond the minor cap line.
Correct.
That's already accounted for. That's
minor cap
is
at the top. Yeah.
That's already accounted for.
Okay.
So was that a motion?
Yeah.
Motion's on the floor. Do I hear a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion's passed.
And before we close out finance, just a couple little items. We have filed our franchise tax report for this year, and one thing that we need to do is pick a new registered agent to receive service of process for legal matters.
Who's our current registered agent?
Young Conaway, and they're asking us to put someone else in place. So we've had a discussion, we've looked at the law, we can do it ourselves, and we're but if the board approves and makes a resolution, we would set our registered agent as head of school attention, Courtney Fox, with the address of 1000, which is next to the number. And that would save us from, I mean, they've, as I understand, Young Conaway's been doing it as a courtesy. If they weren't doing it as a courtesy and we had to pay one of these outfits, it's between like $50 to $200 a year for this service, but you don't need it. You can do it on your own. I guess there's some small risk that a legal pleading could come in and you might overlook it because you don't have some outside agency bringing it to your attention, but that's probably unlikely to occur, happen to us, so. So I would make a motion
Let me ask one question.
Yeah, sure.
Is our registered agent currently doing any filings for us at all? We do our own franchise tax filings, we do everything. So we're only
they're a registered agent in name, they're not performing any current services for us.
Right, except for being there to receive.
No, no, it's required under the law that you have one, so, in the state of Delaware.
No, we've been doing our own franchise taxes every year.
So the only thing that I might suggest is that, so that registered agent material is not commingled in general school material, that somehow we have a separate PO box for that, or something of that nature, because I can only imagine the volume of what you receive, you know, for school materials. If it's not great, you know, maybe not, it's not an issue, but there's...
I don't know about PO box, because it would be served by a process server.
Oh, that's true. Right,
but
right.
does it make sense maybe to, I mean, I'm assuming that our address for mailing purposes is 1000, because that's the first building we had. Maybe we should make the address for this 950. I don't know.
950
at that end of the street.
Right. Yeah, that's why. I mean, somehow making it different that it might just not get commingled with things. Again, it's probably not a huge.
I mean, whatever people want to do, it's just it really just comes down to a question of saving a few bucks, really, is what we're talking about.
So the motion on the floor is?
The motion on the floor is to authorize us to file a change of registered agent filing with the Secretary of State. And the proposal is to designate the person as head of school, attention Courtney Fox. If we want to, with the 1000 North French Street address, we want to make it 920 or do anything else to try to flag it or set up some sort of, internal procedure where we alert our receptionist staff that if a process server comes, that's a special occasion. And I mean, I'm sure they know that. I don't know, do people feel like we need to do something special, or should we just go with the original idea about having it at a school, attention Courtney, over 1000?
And then the process is to alert 1000 that we now are in charge of this, and
we know
together.
Approximately when
yeah.
it comes.
Well, usually it's going to be a person.
Well,
right?
That's what I mean, but time of year, or when to expect it.
Oh, and it's also notices. It is also notices like here's the reminder from the
exactly.
Secretary of State that we need to do
you,
the franchise.
You file your annual report,
exactly.
your franchise tax review. That, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I'm really not concerned that if a process server walks in here that that's not going to get people's attention. What I'm concerned about is the other really minor little bills and things that somehow might get lost in the shuffle. And, you know, if people are confident that that's not going to happen, that our mail volume isn't such that that's an issue, then fine.
Courtney, do you have a suggestion on process?
As long as it looks like a real piece of mail, it gets opened. Like, you know what I mean? If it's not like a
junk mail?
Yeah, and you know what I mean? It,
uh-huh.
Everything gets opened.
Says the state.
As long as I know what it looks like, I'm going to open it and pay attention to it. If I open it, it doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm assuming that I'll know what it is. Like, it doesn't.
Well,
the volume is there. It's not ridiculous.
I think what helps is it says attention Courtney Fox.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So therefore
it will get opened.
I think that's the important piece of that.
Yeah.
And like on the franchise tax, let's say we blew it and we missed the March 1 deadline. It's like a $250 penalty. So it's just
yeah.
really the money that we would have spent having
paying someone else.
Paying up to, yeah.
I'm not worried about missing the deadline because we have all of our deadlines. Like,
exactly.
I mean,
in our framework.
We haven't been getting any of the notifications, and I reached out to you last month and said, okay, the March 1st deadline's coming. Like, I have a calendar of all of the dates
yeah.
that if things are due, so I'm not worried about missing the deadline.
Query
yeah.
water,
yeah,
not making their way to you. That would be the job of the registered.
Okay, so,
see,
would you like to put the motion on the table the way we're going to vote on it?
Is to authorize the filing of a change of registered agent petition with Secretary of State, where we would designate as our registered agent head of school, attention Courtney Fox, and we would use the 1000 North French Street as the address.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion's passed. Thank you, sir.
That's it.
Okay. Do you have an update, Ange, on strategic planning? Have we covered it all? Where are you?
I think I might have just done it for everybody else's. There is pending a meeting with development based on the new developments, especially based on the phases that have now been provided and defined, and the more definitive dollar amounts that we're speaking of, to review where we've been and where we need to go to make some decisions about what paths we'll travel. So
okay.
We were hoping that that was going to happen tonight, but we'll set another meeting.
I was going to say, do you have a date?
We'll set another meeting because time's going to be up tonight.
Okay, we'll look forward to it.
But we'll report it when we have it.
Okay. We'll look forward to it. Okay, yep. That's good. And head of school, we have a proposed calendar, correct?
I do. Everybody got the calendar that was sent out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hang on just a second.
Well, one thing said 2017 or something.
So there was a school committee that came together to work on the calendar. We put it out to all staff and had a group of about 10 of us that came together and looked at the current calendar and really considering kind of some things that are going on around us in other districts, some of the trends that are going on around us. I will tell you the team focused first and foremost on what we thought was best for students. And then we talked about families and staff and how things fall out. But we did keep all three of those in our minds with the first piece of information really around students. The biggest conversations that we had were around start dates. So some of the districts are shifting to an earlier start date. There was a strong consensus from our team that they would rather teach and have kids in August rather than June. They think that week is much more kids are much more willing to learn and ready to participate at the end of August than in June. So that was a pretty unanimous conversation around keeping June. One of the other things that they talked about, and spring break falls really late, which is what initiated the conversation, was do we want to start to move to a standing spring break date like some schools do and have it always be the last week of March or always be the first week of April, whatever it is, or do we keep it around the Easter holiday, which is similar to the school districts around us. They did determine keeping it around spring break for this year really made sense, but it was one that keeping it around Easter where it traditionally falls is where we were going to land this year. We didn't want to make too many changes this year. They also moved around conferences a little bit so that they are not linked on to Thanksgiving, but a little bit earlier in the month. People felt like that was too late. So those were kind of the three big things that were on there. The one thing that is not on the draft that you got is Veterans Day. There was a conversation around this. Veterans Day falls on a weekend. And when I sent this out, we were thinking that we didn't have to have off for it. However, when it falls on a Sunday, you have to observe it on Monday. So it's a federal holiday that we have to take off. So there will be one addition to this calendar before it is submitted. That will be November 12th.
Or 12th, okay.
Yep. So other than that, we are again meeting the amount of hours, meeting the amount of days, all that good stuff is at the end.
Does that push our end date back a day, or we have enough
built in? It's gonna bring us down to 169 days instead of 170, but we're still within the amount of hours to have a good plethora of days built in. Right now we have an additional 45 hours, so it'll bring us down to about 39 hours, but that's still
how many potential days then that that's create for snow potential with
yeah
that.
So each day was 6.5 hours, so okay. 6.5
more than a week.
More than a week.
13, 26. Yeah, I mean you're still yeah.
Okay.
I have two questions.
If we got to a place where that was a big issue, we could look at, is there somewhere else where we would add it back in differently, and we could make a board motion to change something and move something a little bit if we needed to, if we got in that situation.
Okay. I have two questions, if I may. The 1 o'clock dismissal on the last day of school is new.
Yes.
To your point about families.
Yes.
I'm just curious what the rationale is.
Yeah.
And that makes it different.
Honestly, it was more for kids. It's an anticipatory day for them. And we've been noticing that towards the end of that day, they tend to go downhill. And it makes ending on a really positive note tricky. And so we recognize that, but we also felt like getting them through lunch and having a good portion of the day with them and launching them off in a really good place and not kind of overkilling that lunch day would help. It buys us back 2 hours if we ever needed 2 hours back, too, in accounted for in our plan. So we could add those 2 hours back in as well. But it was really one of those ones really for kids.
And then just a difference in administration. Currently, the doors open at 8:10, and this records that it's open at 8. Classrooms are open at 8.
Sorry, I'll change that.
I just wanted you to be protected because
I was about to give you
a question.
Sorry.
It's still like an extra 10
minutes. Please move it back,
baby. Yep, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Those are my questions. Thank you.
There'll be a graduation next year, too, so I imagine a lot of families will leave after that big show.
That is amazing.
Well, it will be
at least the 8th
on that last day of school, or it will be
I don't know.
A day or something?
We haven't gotten that far.
Moving up day.
That is amazing.
I do have just one comment. Is I noticed also the addition in the teacher professional development days, and I think that was good information. I think sometimes it wasn't there last year, and you know, looking through, you know, my husband will say, well, there's not a day here. I wonder why. Well, now, you know what? Well, guess what? It is teacher development days, and it just kind of provides information for folks who may or may not realize. So I thought that was a great addition.
Any other questions? Make a motion. I'm going to make a motion that we accept this calendar.
I move to accept the calendar with the minor revisions discussed previously.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion's passed. All right. Enrollment update, Court.
Yep, so the lottery ran today at about
4:30.
I have notification we've already had 27 kids accept. Woo-hoo. So people are already getting their notification.
Wow, that's
instant exciting. Acceptance.
So it is it's an exciting day.
How many applications did we get this year?
Total as of right now, and again they're gonna keep rolling. We find that they continue to roll. So in comparison from year to year, it's hard to do that right this second, but as of today we have received 530 applications.
Wow.
Wow.
The
biggest
number being kindergarten is about 230 at kindergarten.
230
for
kindergarten.
78 spots.
Yes. 78 spots. That's what we got, huh?
We had 78 K spots. We had 5 seventh grade spots, and we had 5 at another grade level. It might have been second grade. I believe we had 5 spots as well.
Wow. 5 seventh grade spots is amazing that it's only that many spots.
Right now?
Yeah.
It'll depend on what choices our kids make currently.
Yeah.
We can't predict kind of where they're heading, but you know, right now we've invited 5 seventh graders.
So the total number of available spots is 230 or so?
No.
230
really,
spots for kindergarten.
It's really 85 spots, I believe, is what we opened.
85 spots total open.
Yeah. Wow. Congratulations.
Exciting.
We are a destination school.
You'll be hearing from lots of people.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, I hear from lots of people that are like, you're on board. It's a lottery. Nothing I can do for you. Mm-hmm. Nothing I can do.
Well, I was on the other end of that lottery this year.
They could guess 500,000, perhaps.
That's right. No. They could rank.
So I know what it feels like.
Well,
holding our breath. Okay, so we're good. Courtney, you did your renovation update?
So I brought the final architectural plans. If people want to take a look at them, I just stuck them up. So again, the bare bones minimums that we have talked about on that third floor is making sure that the 6 classrooms that we're creating are close as possible to 1,000 square feet. Based on the amount of kids and Montessori recommendations, that's about where we need to land. So I give them the parameters of the exact number of rooms that we need and spaces that we need. And then with that with that number of square footage, that's how we have laid out the plan. And as I said today, it was completely finalized today after multiple meetings to get to this point. So now that this is final, everything else gets built out around that. Again, the $1 million that they keep estimating, so their project managers and their directors are saying, here's based on what we know, this is where the target numbers are. So they're gonna be now putting together all of the hard numbers based on all the math capital drawings, all the plumbing, all of the electrical, and all those pieces now start to get fleshed out. But they understand that that is a cap in terms of where we're heading. And to stay as far away from that as possible. So I don't know if anybody had any questions or wanted to know any more about it or wanted to look at it. I guess that I brought it today. We actually saw it in 3D today. So, we could actually go into the space and look around and see what classrooms are gonna feel like and be like. They brought me a 3D version last week, and it was a beautiful school, but it wasn't our school. And I really pushed back to say, you've gotta have some consistency amongst our floors. I don't want a third floor that is beautiful, but looks nothing like the rest. And it was very beautiful, but it wasn't us. And so we really pushed back to make it similar. And what they came back with today was so much more consistent with everything else. It's still gonna feel brand new. It's still gonna feel different. It's gonna, you know, as we flesh out the next couple spaces, it will help.
All right.
But it right now really aligns with what we're doing. We are reusing everything that we can, but it is touching every floor, every ceiling, and building out new walls. So it is way more than I think we ever anticipated, but because every time you move a wall, you have to put in the new ceiling between those two spaces because the grid doesn't go through with that. Right. Those things I'm learning. We are, you know, so we it is all kind of fleshed out to be up there now, so.
But I think you make a good point too, when any of us are talking about it, it is not a renovation, it is a build out, and that has impact when we are looking for mm-hmm. funding. A renovation is changing wallpaper and, you know, sprucing up the space.
Yeah.
A build out is a whole different story for growth.
And as we solicit donations, are there specific, I know we talked about computer labs and things, are there specific spaces that we now have earmarked that we can say, if you would like to
naming
be the naming opportunity, you'd like to be this computer lab, do we have that, and do we have dollar amounts that we can say, and that'll cost you $50,000 or whatever our amounts are. Do we have that, or are we working towards
it's
that?
It's not gonna be broken down by room, because it's, you know.
I mean, if we have any natural breaks, I'm saying like computer lab is a natural break.
The art room is a natural break. When we get to the phase two, there's a second sign, a STEM lab that goes in that will be a second break. Those are listed on that renovation. Anything that's a breakout different space, so we need on that.
I mean, that's some of the creativity that we'll get into doing this.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Well, and to that point, too,
so
like, we got the lighting grant. Are there any things that we can look for that are going in?
One of the other things that we're learning is that places where we are trying to save money, it's actually costing us more in the long run, right? So one of the things that we did in the first phase of renovations is, and this is a small example, but we tried to reuse every door so that we didn't have to purchase any new doors. The amount of labor that it costs someone to replace those doors, we saved pennies.
Yes.
So this time I'm going, we're not reusing doors because the efficiency of this is not there. So we're trying to figure out those cost saving places. You know, I'm putting in the most cost effective ceiling tile because that's not important to us. However, our flooring has to last. Like, I don't want to be replacing flooring in 2 years. Yeah. So we're trying to figure out whatever the most cost effective, where we save money and where we don't, makes sense. And moving forward in that. So
right. Well, and I would say too, in this, as we recruit and think about this, someone who is a genuine grant writer just doesn't do it for grins, but they are truly a grant writer, which I cannot believe among 500 children we don't have somebody that doesn't do that in our population. If you're recruiting for somebody, recruit for a grant writer who knows the cycles, who knows how to do it, when to do it, what to say. So think about that in your network. Who do you know that does that for a living? Because it would be super helpful
Does it need to be somebody who is
grant specific to education or someone who just knows, does grant writing? I mean, I don't know enough.
Of all
directions,
yeah. Oh, well, okay. We need a grant writer on the board?
It's one of the things I'd like to put out there. But, okay. You know, if we're in a capital campaign mindset, you know, what are the skill sets that we're looking for that may have been different than where we were before?
Mm-hmm. I agree with that larger point. I would say a grant writer would be nice, but I don't think it's the number one priority.
I would say that we need to start looking for one because it is a special talent that we could leverage. And many of the schools in this area who do really well have someone who is a grant writer on their board. And that's just based on experience and doing a lot of research and asking, what do you do differently than what we're doing now?
Yeah, so, I take that point. I'm just saying if we're gonna hire one, and I know it's not an either or thing, but if it was like, if we need to get one person.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it ain't a hire either.
Who's gonna
volunteer their time?
If we could only have one new board member who.
Recruit.
If we could only have one new board member who was gonna help us raise money, I think the top priority would be someone with deep pockets and connections.
Well, I hope that we can do both, but in the meantime, we've already spoken amongst ourselves that we need deep pockets and connections, but we haven't spoken specifically to the skill set of someone being a grant writer. So in the research that we're doing, you know, Kai, you came up with a great list of what the perfect board looks like, and that's one of the points that I would add to it. You know, deep pockets was definitely on there.
We have room for all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree with you. I'm not arguing with you.
I'm trying to make a larger, because I know when we've talked a lot about this, we always talk about skill set, and that's crucial. But I think as we're growing this board and as the school grows, we have to think about profile and context of. And we're an awesome board because we're in it, but I think sometimes we just need some people who can open the doors for us.
Yeah. All right, that being said, the only other thing I want to say before we adjourn, I want to thank Beth for gathering us socially in January. That took some energy. I appreciate everybody that showed up. We had a lot of laughs that afternoon, and it was great fun. So I hope when we schedule the next one, we hope to see you all there. So thank you.
Wait, I have one more piece before we close out. I just needed to know an update on where we are in terms of the procedures for, so last time we met, there was a proposal around procedures for releasing students.
Yes.
You guys asked me to come up with language. I sent that out and I was told that we were on a holding. So I just need to know where we are on that.
We met, yeah.
So we were still waiting to hear back from what other schools were doing.
Yeah. Have we found anybody that has a written procedure or policy?
I haven't heard back from Gina, who was going to get back to us on that. So has she reached out?
She hasn't reached out to me. I you know, when we met last week and talked about things, regardless of what we hear, I think we're in a place where we can come up with a policy and a language that works based on that conversation. So we'll have it for the next board meeting to
approve. Just want to make sure we were still moving on that.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And the other one, thanks to Angela Swarbrick, is the article that was in the News Journal the other day around charter schools and funding. It is the perfect launching place around why we are doing this capital campaign. If you have not read it, I brought copies of it for everybody to have, so we'll send those around too.
Perfect.
But certainly keep sharing that information.
All right.
One other thing I would add to that too is, if you are getting anything from other districts, really pay attention to it, because I just received a communication, and while there were accolades and small articles about what was happening in other places, their renovation information was 3.5 pages long. So
yep.
It's another opportunity to see, you know, why, how, where, and what's happening around us. So interesting times. This is really interesting, though, too. The report that goes with this is actually, we'll get you the link to the copy of that, too, because it is quite fascinating and gives us data that we can really work with. So the article's good, but the data is also quite helpful to us. So
The only information that's gone out about the annual giving, has that only been sent through the classrooms? Like, because I haven't received anything in the mail or anything, and I've been hit up by all the former schools I've worked for their annual giving.
Yeah, and
my dad gets it, like grandparents get it.
Families have.
Okay.
But staff has it.
And grandparents, I mean, that's where the money is.
Yeah, so they have their plus.
Really?
I agree. I hit them all.
Okay, so that's where mine was.
My dad still
gets it. My dad's like, can we still get
it? Anyone who was given, there's a database of all of those people. That went out in November to everybody. Then it went out from the school multiple times. There was a whole kind of list of ways the annual fund piece went out.
I didn't know.
Jen, if you
want to
speak to that about
the
development
piece. No, and there'll be a follow-up in the spring before the school year.
Yeah, I mean, our annual fund this year has raised more than it ever has, which is a good thing.
Well, and speaking of that, though, everybody put on your calendars now, March 23rd. The setting will be 1984, which is in downtown Wilmington on Green Hill Avenue. There will be a 1980s party. There's an opportunity to do that if you enjoy doing that. That is being the focus is the capital campaign, and there has buzz was started at the Happy Hearts dance as that was the final thing that people were receiving as they were walking out. The next event that the PTO is sponsoring is going to be at Oasis on March 5th, and there will be a table for the event there, as well as an 80-20, which is our version of a 50-50, where the school gets 80 and you get 20, and we hope you give your 20 back, but that's a whole other story. And then you'll be hearing about basket raffles and things of that nature, but all of the funds from that event will then be transferred to the capital campaign, which is a new behavior. We haven't done this before, so.
We still don't know how much.
That campaign, that group meets next Tuesday, so they haven't.
Was there any
preliminary
discussion about it at one point?
It's in order to make sure that it's demographically feasible, but in the meantime, they're also trying to garner resources to make it worthwhile. So just give them a couple more.
No, that's fine. Can you just elaborate at all on at least what you're getting? Because I know we have the Columbus Inn catering, but do we know what that is? Is it like a buffet? Is it?
Whole list of things that they're offering to us. That are heavy hors d'oeuvres is basically what I would say.
Okay.
It's going to be heavy hors d'oeuvres. You have to pay for your drinks, and you have to remember that you're coming to a fundraiser. And you have to also remember that we have to be inclusive of our demographics and make sure no one is left out. So that's how
I'm asking this only because...
It won't be very expensive.
No, I'm asking it just because it's 3 days before my husband's birthday, so that's where we're celebrating his birthday party this year. And everybody's coming to that,
that's
no
so
gifts.
Fun.
And that. So I want to be able to say, don't bring him a gift, but it's $10 to get in or whatever it is.
It won't be any... that'll be the lowest that it would be, and it won't be any more than 20. So it'll be somewhere in that range.
Okay.
It's not expensive at all.
And then the only other question I had around annual fund is when we track the board annual fund, are we tracking it on fiscal year or calendar year? Because we did a whole push of the end of the calendar year was December 31st, and people were making sure to get me their check before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a semantics, but everyone keeps asking me what's the percentage? And I don't know where to...
We're tracking on fiscal year.
Yeah, I was going to say, we said fiscal, because I know people are waiting for bonuses.
That's fine. I just... Certain people had given it to me by, like, the 31st to make sure it got in and counted, and I just want to make sure they weren't counting it in...
I'm counting for the IRS.
All my checks go out that last week
just
in December.
Just to make sure I'm aligned with what you're
doing. Yeah. Sorry, one other question about the event. So, do we know, a lot of times this place has like a band and stuff, do we know there's going to be one there that night or a DJ?
There will be.
There will be a band there? I'm sorry, I'm
when
just
we're
trying to
there,
plug
it. During happy hour when we're there, it will likely be 80s music playlist.
Okay.
A band will come towards the end of our time.
Okay.
And we will not be charged cover because we'll already be there.
Right, because normally they charge a cover, but
exactly.
We'll already be in. But but all of the...
You can stay as long as you want.
You can stay as long as you want then. And then the cover or admission, we're getting 100% of that. We're not...
There's a percent.
Or
they're
getting
working on getting
bar,
a percentage of the bar.
During our time.
It could be all night. We're working on it. So We're not sure. Those things I don't have the complete answer for. They've been extremely accommodating.
Yeah.
And actually, Jed's wife is the chair and is doing a magnificent job to get us as much as she can. She's working with Courtney Chris, who is also working with her contacts around town to get us as much as we possibly can. So it'll be a nice way to introduce this idea to our community, and then it can grow next year when there's a whole year to plan.
So, what's the name of the place?
1984. Off of Green Hill Avenue.
You're like Green Hill Car
okay,
Wash.
Okay, one other. These are my husband's questions. He's very into this.
Yeah,
I'm glad. It'll be fun.
So, and they have like retro video games there.
Absolutely.
Are those, how are they? Are they just you stick your quarters in? It's normal.
And we're getting a percentage of that as well.
And we're getting a percentage of that.
We just don't go away.
Okay.
You could give your guests some quarters.
Okay, are we still doing board work?
That is board work.
Oh, that's all.
The board is supposed to be supporting us.
No. Everybody's talking, Angela. I'm asking if it's board work, or do we need to adjourn and discuss this? That's
no,
what I'm asking.
We're done.
No, we can adjourn.
But it was supposed to be co-supported by the board, and the PTO has stepped up
that,
to
I understand
the,
that, but when everybody was talking at one time, I thought perhaps we had gone somewhere else.
Yeah. No, okay. That was the update.
Are we ready to have a motion to adjourn? Is there any other business?
Yes.
Motion to adjourn. Do I hear?
Oh, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
There, second.
Second.
On favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you all very, very much.
Angela seconded it.
Oh, Angela.
We adjourned at 7:41 p.m.
Yeah, we were
7:41 p.m.